a massive, unexpected $7,000 swing for Bitcoin in just a matter of days.
Yeah.
After months of, you know, total silence where the market felt completely frozen, crypto just delivered this really powerful and sudden bounce.
Mm-hmm.
But this volatility, it immediately brings us to the critical question, right? Mm-hmm. Is this price action actually signaling the beginning of a real sustained rally?
Or are we just looking at a temporary rush of optimism, something that could just fade as quickly as the macro news that, you know, created it in the first place?
Exactly.
Welcome to the deep dive. And that question, the structural versus sentimental one, that is exactly the puzzle we need to solve today.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to tear apart your latest market analysis to figure out what precisely drove this price surge, the trigger, and then maybe more importantly, what the underlying trends, you know, the data that gets lost in the noise, what that tells us about the market's true health right now.
Our mission today is pretty targeted. We just need to follow the money and see what it tells us. First, we'll analyze the single biggest external trigger, that huge interest rate expectation flip.
The thing that started it all.
Exactly. Then we need to move inside the market and check that critical stability metric, Bitcoin dominance.
Yeah.
And finally, and I think this is where the real insight is, we'll break down the specific sector performance. We'll see which crypto sectors are actually winning and which ones are still bleeding cash.
Basically, we want to know if we can finally pack away that heavy winter jacket or if we should probably keep it close by.
Right.
We are looking for hard evidence of a sustainable recovery versus, you know, just a short-term sugar rush. Let's start right where it all began, with the catalyst.
Okay, let's unpack this. We've been talking for months about how intertwined crypto is with the broader macro environment.
Especially interest rates, yeah.
Yeah.
The Fed.
Right. And yet, the sudden shift in investor sentiment that drove this recent bounce, it was truly extreme. It wasn't gradual at all. I mean, the data we're looking at calls it almost violent.
Violent is the perfect word for it. The analysis points directly to this massive sudden flip in rate cut expectations. It just happened so fast, like in the span of 48 hours, right before Bitcoin started to move.
Wow,
and you have to think about the market's mindset. Just a few days before that, it was all pessimism, just this acceptance of stagnation.
Yeah, overwhelmingly pessimistic.
Yeah.
I mean, there was almost no expectation of any kind of easing from the Fed.
Exactly. According to data from prediction markets like Polymarket, the consensus was pricing in a 76% chance of no rate cut at all through December.
That's not just pessimism. That's a high degree of certainty.
It is. Certainty for prolonged tight money. But then almost overnight, that sentiment just aggressively flips. That 76% chance of no cut suddenly becomes an 86% chance of a quarter point cut.
That is a dramatic reevaluation, and you can map it directly to the price action.
Directly. The timing is perfect.
It's fascinating how quickly those expectations can change and how, you know, immediately they translate into price movement, especially in a thin market like crypto. But we have to make the core logic here really clear for everyone.
Yeah, we got to connect the dots.
We need to connect lower interest rate expectations directly to a $7,000 BTC price jump.
So the connection is pretty straightforward financial logic, but it's critical for understanding just how fragile this bounce really is. It's what we call the liquidity logic chain.
Okay.
When the market starts pricing in lower future interest rates, it just means that loans across the entire economy are going to get cheaper.
And cheaper loans mean more money available, not just for companies, but for, you know, speculative markets.
Precisely. Cheaper loans increase overall market liquidity. That's just the amount of spare cash floating around looking for a return.
Looking for a home.
And when liquidity increases, where does that new cheap capital go? It tends to push immediately into risk assets. It's looking for the highest possible beta.
And crypto, as we always say, is basically defined as the riskiest asset class on the planet.
Yep.
It's often the fastest place new liquidity rushes in, and it's also the first place it rushes out when things get tight.
It's like this hypersensitive barometer for global risk appetite. So when the expected future cost of capital drops like it did, the willingness to gamble on high beta assets like Bitcoin and then altcoins, it just rises instantly.
So this explains the speed of the bounce. I mean, we have to acknowledge this wasn't some sudden organic surge of adoption or utility.
Not at all.
It was a pure logical financial reaction to an external macro event.
And that's what makes it so fragile. It's completely reliant on an assumption about what the Fed might do, an assumption that can change on a dime with the next inflation report.
But there was another piece of the puzzle, right? An internal factor that allowed this to happen. The analysis calls it the weak hands cleanse.
The market absolutely needed this. It needed an internal reset. For any big upward move to get traction, the immediate selling pressure has to be totally exhausted.
Right.
And the analysis suggests that over the last few months of just depressed prices and a sideways movement, basically everyone who wanted to sell already sold.
So if we look back at that slump, who exactly got purged? Who was washed out?
I think you can break it down into three key groups. First, you have the weak hands, you know, investors with short time horizons, low conviction, people just looking for a quick profit that never came.
Mm-hmm.
Second, the panic sellers, the people who just liquidated based on fear at the local lows, locking in their losses. And then, maybe the most important group, the overleveraged traders.
Whose positions were forcibly liquidated.
Exactly. They are all gone now. They're not waiting in the wings to immediately cap any rally attempt.
So that created the necessary vacuum, the open space for upward movement.
Yeah.
So when the rate news hit and that new speculative money flowed in, there were just far fewer sellers waiting to absorb that buying pressure.
It's a precondition for any recovery, even a temporary one. It's like the difference between trying to push a car uphill while people are pulling it down versus pushing a car that's already on a slight incline with the brakes off. The internal environment was cleared out.
And this is where I have to admit, you know, a bit of vulnerability. I think a lot of us wrestle with this. I still wrestle with comp drift myself sometimes.
Mm.
I can mistake a big short-term price jump like this. I mean, Bitcoin adds $7,000 in a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I can mistake that for some kind of fundamental structural change. It's really hard in the moment to separate the hope from the actual structure.
That difficulty is universal. It's because the psychological response is just immediate hope, especially after months of grinding down. We want the winter to be over.
Right.
But that internal bias is exactly why we have to pivot and rely on the underlying data, which is what we're doing today. The risk is assuming that this cleanse of weak hands plus a positive trigger is the same thing as a sustained structural recovery. And they are not the same thing.
So the big lesson from this first part is that, you know, favorable macro news is a powerful accelerant, but it needs a healthy market to build on. If the foundation isn't solid, that acceleration just creates a higher platform for the next drop.
Mm. Which raises a critical question for us. If interest rate hopes drove this bounce, does that mean the movement is sustainable even if rates hold steady later?
No. Macro sentiment changes quickly, so the bounce is inherently fragile.
So we've established the trigger was external and the market was ready for it. Now we have to go inside the market itself and run a stability check.
Okay.
This is where we distinguish a misleading bounce. Wow. You know, one based on pure excitement from a meaningful one that's based on serious capital coming in.
And the core warning sign the analysis points to here is money flowing immediately and aggressively into altcoins.
Yeah.
Before Bitcoin has established a solid base, why is that specific pattern such a problem?
Because Bitcoin has to be the foundation. It's the most liquid entry point for large capital. It's often the only asset big institutions can even touch. And it's the safest store of value in the whole space.
So if big money skips Bitcoin and jumps straight into smaller, riskier assets,
it suggests speculative frenzy, not institutional confidence.
It suggests retail gamblers are chasing a quick 10x rather than serious capital building long-term stability for the whole market.
Exactly. When money flows straight to the alts, the bounce is misleading rather than meaningful. Bitcoin needs to solidify its position first. It needs to absorb that initial liquidity before capital can safely move down the risk curve. That BTC first pattern is the hallmark of a healthy bull cycle starting.
And to measure this, we rely on the metric known as BTC dominance. For anyone less familiar, maybe we can just quickly define that and explain why it's our key gauge.
Yeah, for sure. BTC dominance is just the percentage of the total crypto market cap that's held by Bitcoin.
Simple as that.
If the whole market is worth $2 trillion and Bitcoin's worth $1 trillion, dominance is 50%. A high or a rising dominance just confirms that Bitcoin is accumulating capital faster than the rest of the market. That's the institutional signature.
And the problem that our analysis identified, looking at the charts for this specific bounce, is that dominance actually dipped a little bit during this recent move up.
That dip is a huge caution flag, a flashing light. It tells us that while the overall market cap grew, altcoins absorbed a disproportionate amount of that new cash.
Or, and this is maybe more concerning, Retail money was pulled out of Bitcoin to chase those sudden altcoin pumps.
Which is highly unstable behavior.
Yeah.
So let's break down what this non-ideal capital rotation implies about who is actually driving this thing.
The current pattern pretty clearly implies that retail traders are the primary drivers. They're rushing to chase those quick flips in alts, you know, the rapid 20 or 30% gains that smaller coins can offer. This is classic short-term speculative enthusiasm.
And it's often very short-lived.
Very. And the flip side of that, the interpretation for the big money.
They're being cautious.
The bigger, more sophisticated players, institutions, hedge funds, asset managers, they remain cautious. They're sitting on the sidelines. They're not deploying capital aggressively because they haven't seen the stability they need in Bitcoin first.
They need Bitcoin to lead, to stabilize, and to absorb that initial volatility before they're going to commit multi-million dollar positions.
Yeah.
So if we were seeing a true structural market recovery, the kind that lasts for years, what would that dominance chart look like right now?
In a genuine recovery, BTC dominance would be climbing steadily. It would probably peak at a high percentage before it starts to flatten out. That confirms institutional capital is coming in first through the safest asset. Mm. Only after Bitcoin has stabilized would that capital start to slowly rotate down the risk curve, first to Ethereum, then to proven altcoins, and then months later into the really speculative stuff. That's the reliable rotation.
And the fact that we don't have that climb means we're stuck in this retail-driven enthusiasm phase, which is notoriously quick to reverse.
Right. It leads to immediate profit-taking at the first sign of any trouble. That's why the source material has such a great analogy here. It says this bounce is just the first warm day after winter.
It feels fantastic. It's promising. It makes you feel like maybe you can put the heavy coat away.
But it is definitely not a reason to ditch the jacket.
Yeah.
The underlying structure is still fragile. It confirms the market wants to recover, which is important. That's a big psychological sign. But true stability, that requires the correct capital rotation first. It requires strengthened BTC dominance.
That analogy really resonates. You feel the warmth of the sun. But the data is reminding you that a sharp cold snap could still be right around the corner.
Which leads us right into our next question. If these larger players are still so cautious, what's the primary signal, you know, beyond just price, that would show us they're actually entering the market in force?
A steady, sustained climb in Bitcoin dominance would signal institutional capital is entering. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So we've analyzed the macro trigger, and we've concluded that the big, sophisticated money is still holding back. Now we turn to the most detailed and I think the most telling data point, sector performance over the last 30 days.
This is where the truth about investor intent really comes out. By looking at performance across different crypto sectors using data from Artemis and CoinGecko, we can figure out the quality and the strength of the capital that's actually been driving things.
Right, because if a bounce is truly expansionary, sectors related to growth and development and infrastructure should be leading the way.
They should be. But what does the overall 30-day picture show us?
It's pretty clear.
The overall picture is definitive. It shows extreme caution, not expansion. The performance confirms that investors are deploying capital defensively. They're playing defense, not offense. Hedging uncertainty, not betting on growth.
So let's run through the breakdown, and we have to start with the one massive outlier, the winner that tells a very specific story. Privacy coins.
The performance here is, I mean, it's genuinely staggering when you look at it against everything else. Privacy coins absolutely exploded. They recorded a huge 33.2% gain over the 30-day period.
Wow.
They were the only shining green candle across all sectors, just standing alone while almost everything else was struggling to stay flat or was bleeding.
That kind of outperformance, it has to be rooted in a narrative, in some kind of genuine urgency, not just random trading.
Yeah.
So what is the macro story that's driving this?
The narrative for privacy is way bigger than just the crypto market. It connects directly to these real-world anxieties about digital sovereignty.
Mm.
We're in an era where AI tracking systems are evolving so fast and monitoring everything. Governments are aggressively tightening financial regulations. And just that general public feeling of surveillance is at an all-time high.
Mm-hmm. So investors aren't buying something like Monero XMR or Zcash ZEC because they're expecting a huge DeFi bull run. They're buying it as a hedge against this increasing global scrutiny.
Exactly. It's a fundamental defensive flight to quality driven by this deep-seated concern. When people feel like their financial sovereignty is under threat, they look for tools to reclaim that autonomy. projects like Monero and DAH are riding this powerful geopolitical and tech narrative that goes way beyond the normal crypto cycle.
It's a risk aversion asset.
Totally. So what's the critical implication of this one single sector leading the market bounce so strongly?
The strong performance means that the early capital, the first money coming in during this bounce, is definitively seeking hedges, not risk.
That's the core takeaway.
Hedges are defensive plays. They protect existing wealth or they provide a safe haven. They don't typically drive a broad market recovery, which needs aggressive deployment into high growth sectors. If your market leader is a defensive tool, your market is fundamentally fearful.
That fear structure is what's holding everything together right now. Okay, moving on to SocialFi. This sector, you know, decentralized social platforms, creator tools like Pump.fun, Zora, Reelink, it's essentially flat, just a marginal 0.8% increase.
And in this kind of environment, the analysis notes that just surviving is actually considered a tactical win.
It is, because it shows user retention, but it shows zero aggressive growth. And the interpretation here is really important. When SocialFi is flat, it means users are curious. They might be experimenting, logging in, checking out new stuff. But critically, they are not deploying fresh capital yet, not in any significant way.
So there's active engagement, but not financial commitment.
Exactly.
Which lines up perfectly with the cautious sentiment we saw in the Bitcoin dominance. People are looking around, but they're not buying in yet.
It's the difference between window shopping and actually pulling out your wallet to make a purchase. SocialFi is often an early indicator of retail enthusiasm, but its flatness suggests that what little retail energy is out there is being soaked up by quick flips in other alts, not long-term platform adoption.
Okay, now we cross into the red. Starting with file storage networks, down slightly at -1.4%. The analysis calls this graceful red.
Graceful red. I like that. It means it's losing a little ground, but it's not a panic crash. This sector has major infrastructure projects like Arweave, Filecoin, Sia, and it's really important we place the sector's timing correctly in a recovery cycle.
Right. File storage is not an early mover. It's a lagging indicator of utility.
Exactly. It typically moves in the later utility-driven stages. You have to think about the demand chain. File storage demand only goes up when developers are aggressively deploying new data-heavy dApps. They need decentralized infrastructure to store all the data their users are generating.
So if the file storage sector isn't participating, if it's actually down, it just confirms what we suspected. This is not a builder-led recovery.
It confirms that the underlying demand for decentralized capacity, which is the ultimate sign of real-world adoption, is low. If builders were rushing in, we'd see the sector get bid up immediately. Its slight dip confirms the rally is not being driven by development or utility.
Okay, let's move to one of the sectors that took the hardest hit during this supposed bounce. DePIN, Decentralized Physical Infrastructure Networks. Down a painful 16.7%, zero strength.
This performance, a double-digit drop during a general market recovery, is a major red flag for the health of the whole ecosystem. DePIN projects are tied to big tech expansion phases. They're trying to incentivize people to operate real-world, hardware-like, decentralized 5G or sharing computing power.
So they're literally building the physical foundation for a decentralized future. When the market is genuinely expanding, these should be soaring.
Absolutely. They are the picks and shovels for the next generation. We're talking about projects like Bitternsore and Akash. So if the tech expansion sectors are hemorrhaging by double digits during a market bounce, it is just irrefutable proof that investor money is still cautious.
Investors are not making high conviction bets on the future compute needs of the ecosystem.
No.
It tells us this optimism is purely financial, purely speculative, and completely detached from any expectation of fundamental growth or utility demand.
Yeah, it suggests a really profound skepticism about whether these networks can deliver on their promises anytime soon.
And finally, the most painful data point of all, exchange tokens. The largest losers, down a staggering 20.5% over the month.
This result just flies in the face of all traditional market logic. Exchange tokens should be the absolute early movers in any strong recovery.
Because they profit directly and immediately from activity. More trading volume, more retail participation, it all translates instantly into higher fees and revenue for the exchanges.
Their tokens should reflect that. They should be the leading indicator flying off the shelves.
But the reality is they are the top losers. Bleeding hard, even while Bitcoin jumped $7,000. The analysis gives us four really specific, really negative signals from this.
Lay them out for us.
First, it signals just lower trading activity overall. The volume isn't there. Second, that means lower fee revenue for the exchanges. Third, and this is the big one, it signals lower user confidence in centralized entities. There's still a huge trust issue.
Yeah.
And fourth, it just means that capital is actively rotating elsewhere, deliberately avoiding this core infrastructure.
Whoa. Imagine scaling up to 1 billion daily queries or 1 billion new trades just to bring those exchange tokens back to flat, let alone into profit. It shows the sheer mind-boggling scale of the liquidity that's required to overcome this massive deficit of confidence and volume that is a huge hole to climb out of.
It really underscores the severity of the trust deficit. The fact that the infrastructure tokens, the roads and bridges of the crypto world, are the top losers proves, I think definitively, that this bounce is still extremely fragile. If the roads are broken, the big capital isn't going to flow.
So to sum up this whole sector breakdown, we have massive defensive hedges soaring, flat retail engagement, and an outright collapse in the essential infrastructure and tech expansion sectors.
It paints a very clear picture of investor behavior right now. They are reacting to favorable macro news by seeking protection, not by deploying aggressive risk for growth.
Which sets up our final probing question for this segment. Given that privacy is the only big winner, what singular behavioral shift are investors currently prioritizing above all else?
Investors are strongly prioritizing defensive hedges and personal sovereignty overtaking any expansionary growth risk.
Okay, let's synthesize these three major findings for you, the listener, and clarify what this all means. The crypto market just saw a powerful price bounce, reacting violently to that favorable macro event, the flip in rate expectations.
And that reaction was only possible because the market had already cleansed itself of all the overleveraged and panic sellers.
Right. However, all the internal structural metrics, the Bitcoin dominance, and that detailed sector performance, they reveal this deep, pervasive caution within the system. Capital is staying extremely defensive.
Investors are seeking hedges in privacy coins, not deploying risk into critical sectors like DePIN and exchange tokens.
And that lack of a strong climb in Bitcoin dominance tells us that large institutional capital is absolutely still on the sidelines. They're waiting for structural signals that just haven't arrived yet.
The performance of the utility and infrastructure sectors confirms that fundamental adoption and builder confidence are not the drivers here. It's purely a sentiment play based on external forecasts.
So the takeaway for you is pretty clear. Enjoy the momentum. It's a welcome relief for sure. But remember that this is a speculative sentiment bounce. It's based on external macro factors, not a structural recovery driven by strong foundational growth or aggressive risk-taking.
Keep the jacket on. Wait for BTC dominance to strengthen convincingly, and wait for DePIN and exchange tokens to show sustained, positive signs of life before you believe the winter is truly over.
And this leads us to the final provocative thought we want to leave you with. The deep sustained weakness of those exchange and DePIN tokens. It suggests that the underlying issues of confidence and builder adoption are now maybe more significant hurdles than just the Fed's rate decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So what if the regulatory environment, the threat of AI surveillance, and the trust deficit that comes with it, what if those things are now structurally more important to the next recovery than just the availability of cheap money?
That structural trust might be the real foundation that's needed, far more than just liquidity. Thank you for sharing your source material with us and letting us take this deep dive.
Yeah, and we'd strongly encourage you to continue your own exploration into these connections between surveillance, the rise of AI, and that sudden defensive surge we're seeing in privacy coins. It's a crucial narrative that's probably going to shape the next decade.
Until next time, keep digging.